keys to Mark, the 11th chapter. And Ben, let's go ahead and go to setting two there. We started a series 2 weeks ago. This will be week number three now, I guess. So it's not quite 3 weeks, but I guess it's two. It's going to be our third message called Move. And during the first of it, let's go ahead and read our text here in Mark chapter 11, and then we'll get into it. Jesus had cursed a fig tree, and the next day, as they came back by, they noticed that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And they were so marveled by that, they called his attention to it, and they said, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And this is how Jesus answered them in verse number 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And we started off the first week by saying this, problems or challenges of any kind, big, small, and everything in between, can only be handled, and when I say handled, I mean really done away with the way that they're supposed to be done, okay? Now, there are certain things that we can do that are, we have the ability to handle certain things, you know? If you come home, your house is dirty, come on, you don't need faith to handle that. You go ahead and take care of that, right? But I'm talking about handling things the way that really need to be done. The only way true problems can be handled is by faith. Faith is very important to us as believers in Christ because everything in the kingdom of God can only be received by faith. You can't receive it any other way. A lot of people are standing around waiting on a physical manifestation that's going to really shake them and force them and make them do things, but that's not how God works. And the only way that you can receive something in the kingdom of God is by faith. Now, many people have said that that's not true, Pastor Brent. God's blessings are a result of his grace. They're a free gift. And that's true. That is true. They are a free gift. And grace is what brings the blessing of God to us. But if you're taking notes this morning, and I hope you are, again, if you want to join in on the YouVersion app or on the Direction Church app, you can follow along with the notes today and take your own notes in there as well. But I think I put this in there. It's this: whatever has been freely given by grace must be obtained by faith. So grace does give us freely what we need and what we want, but we have to obtain it by faith. Now, if I said I was going to give you $1,000, amen now. Some of you didn't excite very many. Some of you didn't get excited about that. Maybe I was going to give you $200,000. Yeah, now we're getting people's attention here. If I said I was going to give that to you, all right, and I said, okay, here you go, it's yours. Now, listen to me. If you don't get up out of your seat and come get it, whose problem is that? Now, that's yours, isn't it? Go ahead and read in the Old Testament sometime where God told the children of Israel, I have given you this land. But then he said, but now you got to go possess it. Didn't he? Now, was the land theirs? Why? Not because they had it, but because God said it. But when they went there, what was looking at them? Giants. Giants. So if I was going to give you $200,000, and I said, here you go, this is yours, all you got to do is come get it, and you sit there and walk out the door, and you don't have it, that's on you. That doesn't mean my will is, this is where faith comes in. My will is that you have $200,000. Your faith is what's going to come get it. Now, some of you are sitting there going, well, I might be okay receiving that for salvation. That's true, Pastor Brent. Why is that different than anything else? I mean, Jesus paid for us to be saved, yes, and have eternal salvation. And the only way we received it is by faith. By grace are you saved. Come on, through faith. All right? Why is anything else any different? Why does healing have to be any different? Come on, why does prosperity have to be any different? Why does joy have to be any different? Why does peace have to be any different? Come on, why does the blessing of the Lord have to be any different received in our lives if it's not by faith? Well, God's just going to do whatever he wants to do. If that was the case, you wouldn't have had to got saved. Because I guarantee you, God wants everybody saved. He died for the sins of the whole world. But how many of you know there's going to be people that are in the world right now that are going to wind up in hell? It's not what God wanted. Okay? Everything that is given freely by grace must be obtained by faith. Okay? Faith is also, as we said to you during week one, what we live by. This is what shapes our character, helps us to make our choices through our life. This is how we live our daily life. It is also what we walk by. How do we handle everything in our daily routine? It's by faith. It's also how we quench the fiery darts of the devil. You get something that comes against you, the only way to stop it is by faith. Now, we read to you that Jesus said, you can say to a mountain, move, and if you believe it, it'll happen. So faith in week one was defined as this, an opinion held with complete assurance from reasoning earnestly with information. Now that's academic, and that's a very, that's as plain as I could make it though, but I ask you guys to get in agreement with me that God would say to me and help us to find our way and navigate our way through this so that we can make this even clearer for you, because I'll be honest with you, mountain-sized problems are no fun. But neither are the thousands of little problems that we have all the time. I want to get rid of all of them. Come on, somebody. Now, that doesn't mean they won't come back. I wish it was. Man, it'd be so nice, wouldn't it? Speak to a mountain and never have to speak to another one. No, they come back. Other ones pop up here and there. And that's why I believe the Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. Moving mountains is part of your job. Come on, somebody. Come on, that's part of your existence as a Christian is moving mountains. I don't like that. I don't want to move mountains. Hey, it's better than part of your job as a Christian, which is what some denominations teach you. Part of your job is being crushed by mountains. That's the way some people teach it. Come on, I'd rather be a mountain mover than getting crushed by a mountain. Come on, somebody. That's part of our existence as Christians is we're mountain movers. Well, what about ones God brings into your life? That's what this whole series is about. God does not put mountains in your life. He puts the thing that moves mountains in your life.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, we said to you that that opinion that we were talking about, we were believing for clearer ways to say it, comes in two different forms, all right? So an opinion held with complete assurance from reasoning earnestly with information comes in two different forms. First was Thomas's version of it, where it only sees it first, then believes it. That's where the saying, I'll believe it when I see it, comes from. And actually, that is not true. You will not believe it when you see it. You know it when you see it. Belief doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. Remember this last week? Nobody believes there's a sandwich in this bag. Everybody knows there's a sandwich in this bag. Why? Because you can see it. You can see it. But faith is only an opinion held from information. What kind of information? Well, the Bible actually tells us that it's hearing information or having it communicated to you, all right? Thomas's faith sees it first, then says they believe it. Therefore, Thomas's version of this does not please God. Thomas's version of this does not move mountains. Thomas's version of this is not what we're supposed to live by and walk by, and Thomas's version sure is not going to quench the fiery darts of the devil for you. Well, I'll believe it when I feel better. You got it backwards. You have to be like Abraham's version of it, which is the second version, that believes it regardless of what the situation looks like, what it feels like, what's going on around me. Doesn't matter that I'm 100 years old and I'm supposed to have a baby. God said I'm supposed to have a baby, so guess what? At 100, my wife that's 80, we're having kids. We're painting the nursery. Well, that doesn't look normal. Yeah, but God said it. I wonder if they had a Noah's Ark nursery. I mean, they would have known the story. I mean, Abraham's faith believes regardless of what the situation looks like. So then last week, we got it clearer for you, and it was this kind of faith. Abraham's faith is a strong opinion that is based on the Word of God. A strong opinion that is based on the Word of God. Now, think about this for a second. Let's go back and think about those scriptures. The just shall live by their strong opinion of the Word of God. Whoa. Okay? The just, for we walk by our strong opinion of the Word of God and not by sight. Taking up the shield of your strong opinion based on the Word of God, that you may quench the fiery darts of the devil. Without a strong opinion based on the Word of God, it is impossible to please God. Come on, it's starting to make more sense now, isn't it? Well, that's just my opinion. Well, what is your opinion? It's something you believe. You can't just, now, we said to you last week, you can't just run off believing something positive that is not based on God's Word or not on a spiritual leading that God will give you that will always agree with the Word of God and expect God to act. There's a lot of people believing for something that may be positive, but it's no more based on the leading of the Spirit of God or the Word of God than the man in the moon. And then they get confused and deluded, and they start going, I mean, does this work or not? And listen, it can't just be something positive. It can't just be something good. Listen to that. Air condition. I hate to burst your bubble, but the only thing faith can be based on is what God says. God is not bound to move on something that he never said, something he never promised, whether that's something that's wrote down or something that he said to you. Even if it is positive and even if it is something that would improve something in your life dramatically, God is not bound to do things unless he said it in his word or he specifically spoke a word to you. Okay? Oh, but man, if God said it, then you can have the strong opinion that it's for me right now and it's going to happen and I'm going to make sure it does. That is why it's imperative for you to read your Bible. I don't know about you, but man, I grew up in a Pentecostal house where they made you read the Bible for punishment. Anybody else grow up that way? You go to your room and read your Bible. My mom and dad are probably watching right now going, oh, you always make us look so bad. My parents were awesome. They were great parents. They still are. All right. But now, I grew up that way, almost like the, and I've had conversations with some of you that the Word is really difficult sometimes to read, and it's hard, and sometimes it's boring. Can I just be honest with you? It is. Don't go out and say I said that, but it is. I don't care who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who got 47 generations later. I don't care. I don't care about all the tribes of Manasseh, and I don't care. Why do I need to read that? I don't know, but there's life in it. My faith gets built from it. I can't explain why, but it does. There are things in there that you need to read. It isn't something to punish you. It isn't something to put your thumb on. It isn't something your thumb on you to hold you down. It isn't something that just God wants to make your life boring. No, it is to strengthen your faith. You should either read the Bible yourself, have it read to you. I do that a lot sometimes. You know, I'm just like you. I have moments in my life where I don't have time. Come on, I don't have time to sit down and take the 15, 20 minutes to read the Bible or 30 minutes or whatever. I don't have that sometimes. I have a life just like you do. I know a lot of times people think pastors just sit in the glory cloud all day. Man, that'd be awesome if it would. Well, you talk about an awesome office. Where's your office at? It's over in the realm of glory. I put my feet up on a cloud, and I'm surrounded by angels all day. They just come and wait on me like they did on Jesus. They bring me bread from the ravens, and it's awesome. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But that's not true. I have a life just like you, Every pastor and preacher I know has a life just like you. And so sometimes I just get that on my Bible app, and I just push the play button and have it read to me while I'm getting dressed or while I'm getting ready to walk out the door or even when I'm in the car driving. Because the last thing you want to do is read your Bible while you're driving. So you either need to read the Bible yourself, have it read to you, and then you also need to listen to preaching. That's why we're giving you our CDs. I still laugh at that. I can't believe. I mean, we started this church from the very beginning doing digital downloads of our sermons for free, and now we're suddenly doing CDs. We digress. But anyway, we're trying to give you, we're trying to get it to all forms and fashions. Now, we're never going to do cassettes, and we're not going to do 8-tracks. I'm sorry, we're not. If you have one of those, it's time to get a new car, all right? But we do have CDs out there that you can go and pick those up. Why? Is it just so you can hear the soothing sounds of my voice? No, it's so that it'll build your faith, okay? You need to listen to that because, listen to this, your faith will never grow or get stronger or increase unless the word is put into your spirit. Now, I didn't say this last week, and I had it in my notes, and I wished I had, but I'm saying it this week. You need to put a fresh coat of the word on your faith before you use it. Amen. A fresh coat of the word on your faith before you use it. So today I want to continue along these lines, and I want to talk about how do we get strong faith. Because, you know, we know that you have to base it on the word of God, but how do we get strong faith? All right? John McCarthy said this, How to get faith strengthened. It's not by striving after faith, but by resting on the faithful one. Now, the thing about it is some people will try and say, strengthen my faith, and they'll read the word just for the purpose of strengthening their faith. But Hebrews actually says this, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. And the last word is huge, him. All right? You can't be going looking for the answer. You have to go looking for God because when you look for God, that's where your faith is built. Okay? So the first step is this. Surround yourself with things that produce faith. And let me take this a step further. Surround yourself with things that produce faith that is specific to what you're going through. You know, good preachers are good, and you know, people on TV are good, and people on the internet. Listen to me. I love it when people go and they post something from their favorite preacher online, and I see it from all of you guys all the time. I mean, some of you like Stephen Furtick, and some of you like Joel Osteen. Some of you, I like Mark Hankins and Brother Hagin and Keith Moore, and I see other people put up stuff from Charles Spurgeon, and I see people put up things from all kinds of different preachers. And all those are great, but if they're not talking about what you're going through, all you're doing is just kind of glazing stuff over. You're not building no faith that way. And I love all these guys, and I don't have no problem with any of them. But you need to listen to somebody talking about what you're going through because that's what you specifically need to surround yourself with. That which is going to produce faith specific to what you're going through. If you're needing healing, Billy Graham's not the guy you need to be listening to. I love Billy Graham. I mean, listen, most of the time, Reinhard Bonnke's not the guy to be listening to. You know why? I think both those guys have amazing ministries. I mean, when you can fill an altar with 1 million people getting saved for the first time, that's pretty impressive. But I don't need to be listening to Billy Graham talking about the air and you know, the air is real even if you can't see it. Just the same way with Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross. There's nothing wrong with what Billy Graham preaches. He gets people saved all the time. But if I'm sick, he's not the guy I'm listening to. A lot of people have a lot of criticism about prosperity preaching. Listen to me. If I'm poor and I need money, that's the guys I want to be listening to. My house. I'm about to lose my house or my car. I better be listening to somebody teaching on finances. Come on, somebody. I need to surround myself. I need to surround myself with people that are talking about the actual thing that I'm going through. There ain't nothing going on back there. Everybody can look back up here. This thing right here. It's right here. Everybody just keep your eyes up here, Just turn it off. All right. You need to, and you know what? I'll just tell you right now what that was. That's a distraction to get you off this because I'm giving you gold right now. You're getting gold right now, and he doesn't win. So guess what? He doesn't win. We'll go over it again. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody just laugh at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. You need to listen to somebody that's preaching exactly what you're going through. If you need a financial blessing, you need to listen to somebody teaching on finances. Somebody teaching on peace is good, but that isn't going to help you get financial. Come on. That's not going to help you get your financial blessing. Okay? Faith, according to Carolyn Custis James, says this, faith must be fed, and truth is the only food that it can digest. And you, listen to me. I'm all about all these other guys. But listen, if they're not preaching what I'm going through, they're not helping me. They may give me a little simple word of encouragement for my daily Christian walk, but that's not helping me. I need truth about what I'm going through because listen to me. If you don't feed your faith the truth that you need right now, everything else you're feeding, it's going to kill it. But I'm just reading the word. Yeah, and the word is good. But if you need something specific for your own life, that if you're sick and you're going through something and you're not studying on healing and you're not having somebody preach about healing and you're not having faith, your faith on healing fed, then everything else, your faith for healing is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and shrinking and dying. Well, doesn't the word just produce it all the way around? No. It doesn't. All right? What you do with your measure of faith after you're saved is up to you. But what you do with it determines whether or not your faith will grow. It's amazing how many Christians surround themselves with things that cause them to be weak in their faith. Trying to keep strong faith in a negative atmosphere is absolutely impossible. Guys, we're living in a world that has demons and spiritual strongholds and crazy people. We're living in an atmosphere that is full of that. Okay? Not only are people in the world unsaved, which is really bad, but we also are around Christians who are saved but very unsanctified. And listen, the more we're around those kind of things, they're believing in God and the things of God less and less. Listen, it's amazing to me how many Christian folks are believing less and less that God will do something in their life and will bless them and wants it. And they almost villainize anybody that preaches healing or anybody that preaches prosperity or anything, anybody that preaches blessing because they're believing less and less in it. And the world is believing less and less in God. And we're trying to surround ourselves with those things and think that that's going to build our faith. Okay, if you're trying to keep your faith strong in that kind of atmosphere, it is impossible and is not going to happen. All right? We don't feed our faith simply because we know how faith works, and then we go and read a steady diet of secular magazines and secular online articles. We watch the news and secular TV and never get into the word or listening to preaching more than once a week while we're here. If we do that, our faith is going to get weak. Now listen to me. If you came to my house, and many of you have been to my house, and usually when you come to my house, we're feeding you. I know for a while, Jason was like, man, you're going to make them fish tacos every time they came over. And we were making s'mores in the oven with the graham cracker you just dip right in. I mean, we believe in feeding. Yes, we take care of people when they come to our house. But listen to me. If you came to my house once a week and I fed you, doesn't matter what I feed you, doesn't matter how good it is, listen to me now, doesn't matter how many calories are in it, it has no bearing on it at all. if you're going out and running marathons or fighting a war or whatever, and the only time you're getting fed is when you come to my house once a week, you're going to die of starvation. And it doesn't matter how good I feed you. What are you trying to say, Pastor Brent? Some of you are coming here and eating filet mignons on Sunday. I know, because I cook them. I'm cooking you a high-calorie, potent word, and you're eating it, and you're going out, and you're starving to death the rest of the week, and you're fighting all your problems. Come on, fighting everything that's coming against you, fighting every demon in hell that's trying to stop you. You're fighting off mountains. You're fighting off small problems. You're fighting off fig trees. Come on, you're fighting off all kinds of stuff, and you're wondering why your faith's not getting stronger, and you start going, "What, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it somewhere. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I mean, yeah, you're doing something wrong. You have to feed your faith and surround yourself by things that are going to feed it to specifically what you're going through. If you don't, okay, if you waited till you came to my house next week, you would die of starvation and become a casualty. And that's what's going on in some of your all's lives. The second thing is this, to get strong faith. You got to build on the word and not on an experience or what you think you know. Now, let's revisit our bags here for a second. All right. Now, again, Thomas' faith, got it here. I see it there, so therefore I believe it. And again, I really am upset with some of you that you were so hung up on the fact that, is there meat or anything on this sandwich? You're just so hung up. You think you're being so clever. It's an illustration. There's your Thomas' faith right there, all right? Now, how many of you remember, is there a sandwich in that bag? Are you sure? You sure it's not in this one? Are you sure? What makes you so sure? Because I haven't said which one the sandwich is in. You're going by your experience. And this is where you miss it every time. You think you know what the word says. You think you know what it says. I learned that in Sunday school when I was 12 years old. I went to Rhema. I know what the word says. I know. I watch Brother Copeland every week. Nobody sitting here right now knows which one of those bags has the sandwich in it. And you tell me you do, you do not. You're guessing. This is what happens when you don't go and read the word. When you're not putting it in there, you're building it on your experience. Many people think that they know what the word says. Many people think that they know what's going on. They think they got it. But listen to me. Not only are those demons and crazy people and strongholds and challenges coming against you, but they're also distracting you. And you do not have a clear 100% memory of what the word says. You might be able to quote it to me because you learned it. But that doesn't mean you got it. Faith does not come from having heard. You need to write that down, circle it, capitalize it, put a big highlight over it and say, this is for me right here. Faith does not come from having heard. It comes from hearing, presently, currently, right now. Yeah, but I'm getting kind of tired of hearing it. Well, that means that you're almost there. You're almost there. Okay, God doesn't always move the same way every time. And too many people have locked him into the little box. God only moves this way because this is how he moved for me that one time. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament where God told Moses to hit a rock with a stick and water came out of it. That's pretty cool. I would like to be able to do that. The next time he gets everybody together, all 3 million of them people, or however many of them he was leading around out there, and God says, don't hit the rock this time. Just tell it to spring forth water. Now, that would have been awesome. Water. Wait, you gotta do it like Charlton Heston. Water. Come forth out of the rock. I mean, that would have been so awesome. Hold on a second, I'll get you some. Hey, rock. Start leaking. That would be awesome. Moses didn't do it. Moses is like, But that's not my experience, God. That's not how it worked before. This is a good one right here. That's not how they did it at the church I grew up in. Or the last church I went to. That's not how it happened when I was a student. And I was living on $6 a week and having eating macaroni and cheese from Aldi's. Because I could buy 70 of them for... I have two. I got good at combining ramen and macaroni and cheese and that seasoning and stuff. I got good at it. I got good at it. If you base it on your experience, okay? If you base it on it, your experience, all right? What if your experience has never really even been close to what God's Word says? What if it's just been a grace or a mercy drop that God blessed you with? I mean, because he does that. God will do some things that just because he's awesome. He's merciful and loves us that much. And a lot of times, that's where the home runs come from. The big grand slams, the big miracles, those are God's mercy and grace. Those are not the ways he likes to move all the time, but we pigeonhole them in there to our experience. This is how it happens right now. And if you do that, what if those experiences have never gotten you close to what God's Word says? Many people have never or rarely even sometimes experienced God's blessings the way they're supposed to, and maybe they've experienced a little bit. But then there's those same people, the ones that they really want, the blessing that they're really trying to achieve, the mountain that they're really trying to move, always seems to elude them. They almost look at it as it's like a wish. Sometimes it's a dream. And I know here in town, you know, we're all about wishes. I mean, down there, you know, down there where there's a castle and a big rat, I mean mouse. It's all about that down there. I get it. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. And that's all good and well and wonderful in those beautiful little fairy tales. That's all great. Listen, our city is here because of that, okay? And we go just like everybody else. And we love to go and watch the fireworks, and we love to go and ride the rides. But here's the thing. That's seeped into our thinking. That has gotten into the way that we look at the world. That's the way we look at our problems, like it's a wish or it's a, you know, maybe. I mean, sometimes we don't even go there because it's so far off, and it's like, there's just no way. The mountain's too big. I'm just going to quit thinking about it. They won't even come to any kind of opinion about it because to them it's so far off. Their experience has taught them otherwise. Oh, that's too big for you, man. Just stay away from that. That's too big. That's too big. That's too hard. Let me give you this piece of advice. We'll move on to the next thing. Instead of lowering the word to match your experience, why don't you ask God to change what you believe to arrange your experience to match the word? Most of the time, people won't do that. Oh, that's too big. That's too much. I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I've been trying. Ask God to change your experience to match the word. Next thing is this. Number three, look to the word yourself, not what somebody else is telling you only. A lot of times people love personalities. They love their favorite preachers, and those guys are good. Like I said, have no problem with them. I got somebody I listen to regularly. The trouble with that is people are people no matter who they are, and they possess no power in and of themselves. You and I do not possess power ourselves. All of us, including your favorite preacher, is merely a vessel that the power of God can use. Listen, when I worked at Rhema, and if you don't know what Rhema is the best Bible school in the world. It is. It is. It is. And I know people have gone to other ones, and they're all good and great and wonderful. Rhema is the best Bible college in the world. Okay? And Kenneth E. Hagin was the founder, and if you don't know who that is, we're giving away four of his books for people that need to have their faith built. Okay? He was a giant in the faith. Okay? And I know, now I only got to work there for a couple of years while he was still alive. Now his son
Kenneth Hagin Jr. took over right after that and was really kind of already running the show anyway. And that's who I had the privilege of working really close with. But I was there for 2 years while Brother Hagin Sr. was still alive. And we had people would show up at Healing School, which is something that they did every day, 5 days a week. They had somebody teaching the word in the morning and in the afternoon for terminally sick people. And all they were talking about was the healing power of God. Just to get people submerged into it so their faith for healing would get built. All right. People would show up there, and they'd be like, I'm here for prayer. And they'd be like, okay, well, come on in. Let's pray for you. Well, where's Brother Hagin? Well, he's out on the road. He's like, well, we're going to leave then. You came all the way here from Seattle or wherever you just came from, just and not even knowing if he was going to be here. And they had built their faith, come on now, on Brother Hagin. People were doing that a long time ago in the 50s and the 60s. They had their faith on Oral Roberts. Every time Oral Roberts would lay hands on somebody, something miraculous would happen. And people stopped saying, God's going to heal me. And they started saying, if I can just get to Oral Roberts. People were doing the same thing with Benny Hinn a few years ago. And it may be somebody else that, you know, if I could just have so-and-so pray for me, if I could just sit under so-and-so's teaching. Listen to me. It is not about your favorite preacher. It's about your faith in God. Okay? A person is not going to build your faith unless they are divinely preaching the word of God. If you would believe that God's word, what God's word says, the promise of God will start showing up in your life no matter who's praying for you, no matter who's teaching to you, no matter who's speaking to you. It doesn't matter as long as you start believing the word of God. You yourself need to know what the word of God says so that when challenges come to your life, you can stand against it and see those things move. Next is this. Obey the word of God and God's leading in your life. You're going to have strong faith. You've got to walk in obedience. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 21 and 22 says this. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Your faith cannot grow strong if you know you're supposed to be doing something that you should stop something you're supposed to not be doing. Your faith will not grow if you're living however you want to live. Confidence only comes from living in a way where our heart does not condemn us. Now, unfortunately, nobody likes holiness messages, but it's truth. You can't go out and live however you want to live and expect your faith to be strong. Well, I'm still reading the word. It doesn't matter. If God's been laying on your heart to do something, let me just get down the little specifics. God's been telling you to go talk to somebody at work, and it may be no big deal. You think, well, I mean, listen, you keep overriding that, your faith's going to get weak. Even over something like that? Yeah. What is that? Disobedience. You know what disobedience is?
Sin.
When God tells you to stop worrying about something, and you go ahead and keep worrying about it, well, really? Yeah. You know what you just did? Walking in disobedience. Guess what's going to happen? Your faith's going to get weak. Oh, no, no. God understands. He knows. I mean, no. It's disobedience. Our heart is condemning us of things that are against the word of God and his specific leading for our lives. My pastor, when I was growing up, the Lord laid it on his heart to stop watching TV. Now, where is that in the Bible? Where is that? It's not. And I don't have no problem with TV. I tape stuff just like everybody. My DVR is almost full. I got stuff recording all the time. I don't watch it as much as I. But I don't have no problem with TV. I watch the news just like everybody else. But that's not the only thing I watch. Come on. I counter that with something else. But my pastor got convicted of that, and he said, you know, I really feel like I should stop watching TV. And he argued with God for 2 years about that. It finally got to the point where his heart was condemning him so much that he said, if I don't stop watching TV, God's going to start judging me. And he stopped watching TV. See, that's what I'm talking about. You need to obey what God's calling you to do and the things that you know he's supposed to do, you're supposed to be doing. All right? All right? Faith doesn't work when you know there are things that you're supposed to be doing differently. I had the privilege of knowing a man that was, he and his wife pastored a church for a long time. He was a big man. Now, I know I'm a big guy, but I paled in comparison to this fella. And when I say big, I mean huge. I mean, he was probably maybe just a hair shorter than me, but at least two of me this way, maybe three. He was a big fella, all right? And I remember being in a service with him one time, and he said, give me the microphone. I want to tell you what the Lord said to me, because he had been facing some health issues. And the Lord had said to him that I want to restore you to when your health was when you were 20. And I was like intrigued. I was like, what do you got to do? He goes, oh, nothing. I don't have to change anything. He's just going to do it. I was like, what? You need to bottle that and make millions with that. Did he tell you need to lose weight? I mean, what's oh, no. He never did. His health never did come back, and he went home early. Really sad. The Lord was trying to tell him and lead him to do something, okay? All right? You can't have strong faith without changing something in your life. Remember what John said? Must decrease so that he must increase. There are things that some of you know God's been telling you to do. Know that you've been doing stuff wrong. And then you sit and go, well, I mean, I don't understand why I'm going through many hard times. Well, it's because you're not walking in obedience. There are things you know God's calling you to do. You've been even daily tasks. All right? Next one is this, and I think this is the last one. No, there's two more. Here we go. Next is this. You have to stay humble. In Luke chapter 9, there's a story of a demon-possessed child who was brought to the disciples, and the Bible says they couldn't cast it out. They went to go cast the demon out of this child, and they couldn't. And Jesus later explained that it only comes out through prayer and fasting. And the thing about it is this. They hadn't done that. They had not done the prayer and the fasting. And some people said, well, they didn't know. But here's the bigger picture in that story. The disciples lacked humility and discipline, and that hindered their faith. Remember when they came back from when Jesus empowered them and sent them off and said, now you go out and heal the sick and cast out demons, do all this stuff. And they came back and they're like, oh my gosh, it was so awesome. Miracles were happening and people's lives were being changed. And then they said, and even the demons were subject to us. And Jesus looked at him and said, don't get excited about that. You need to be excited about the fact that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? They had made it the important thing. What? Themselves. They went to him and they said, why couldn't we cast that out? This is where some of you all are. Why can't I move that mountain? Well, because it's not you moving it anyway. It's not about you. Okay? Jesus told them that stuff is not the important thing. They made it about themselves. Look over here in Luke 9:46. This is where these guys are. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. Your walk is not just about you. Your life is not just about you. But when you make it about you, your faith is then hindered. Those guys thought they had a corner on the market. They stopped somebody else from trying to cast it out. If you go and read this story, they said, there was somebody else trying to cast this demon out, and we stopped him. And Jesus said, don't do that. If they're not against us, they're for us. You have to understand that you do not have a monopoly on the blessing in your life, and you didn't do anything to earn it. You're just not that good. You think you're supposed to be further along. You think you're not supposed to be facing challenges. You're above all that. Listen to me. All those things come against you. And just because you're faith in something doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. I'm going to hide behind my podium here. That went over like a lead balloon. Just because you're faith in something doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Okay? People think that when things are hard, that they're missing it somewhere. Listen to me. It's arrogance to believe that challenges that come up is because you're wrong. That's arrogance. Oh, I'm missing it somewhere. It shouldn't be this hard. Says who? Jesus said, mountain. That's pretty hard. Well, I don't understand it. Who said you had to understand it? It's faith is going to move it anyway. Challenges came to Jesus. Challenges came to Paul. Challenges came to every character in the Bible. Everyone that's ever walked on planet Earth. Anybody that ever got blessed had to go and possess it and walk through challenges. What makes you think your life, your walk, and your victory should be any different? Well, I know how faith works. So, are you using it? Get over yourself. Oh, yeah, but you know, I mean, I should know how this works. I tried it once. Who do you think you are? Obi-Wan Kenobi? Never have a problem again. Says who? We need to be humble before God. We are nothing without His power. And if His power is not working, and here it is, and we aren't working it, it's on us. It's not on Him. It's on us to activate it by our faith. And here's the last one. You have to have, okay, if you got to be humble about yourself, you have to have holy boldness in Him. Don't be afraid of challenges in the devil. Faith doesn't hide us from attacks. It protects us from attacks. You have to understand that God's power is working in your mountain, and you're going to have to look that mountain right in the eye and expect it to move because God's word says so. Your problem does not want any part of, it does not want any part of a believer who knows what God's word says and believes it is for them now. I remember when I was a kid, and my mom and dad's house is on top of a big hill. We lived right next door to my grandparents, and we were the only people up there. And back behind us, you know, we had a couple hundred acres we'd ride motorcycles and stuff on. My grandfather cut all these paths in. But on the front side of the house was the city, big, thriving metropolis of Flatwoods, Kentucky. I mean, all 10,000 people, all right? But on the side of the hill, on this one side over here, there was part of it, the hill went down a little bit, and then there was part where the property line came up to, and there was a cemetery over there. And my bedroom growing up was on the same end of the house, right across the field from a cemetery. Little teeny cemetery. Yeah. This is before The Walking Dead or anything became famous, and it didn't matter. That messed with me. Michael Jackson's Thriller had a whole new understanding for me, because I could just see them just right over there in that little teeny family cemetery of somebody, I think their last name was Wayne, some family cemetery. I could just see them all starting to get up out of the ground. I mean, I just knew it was going to happen. I mean, I was like ready to, you know, I was ready for it to happen. And I used to be scared to death of that kind of stuff. I'd lay there in my bed at night, and if anything, you know, the house settled or anything, I'd be like, what is that? And I remember being to the point where, I mean, I was like struggling in school and having headaches and all kinds of stuff because I wasn't sleeping at night. I'd fall asleep before my parents went to bed, and I'd wake up sometime around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and just lay there petrified. And I remember hearing somebody talk about, you need to just get bold and face the devil, face your fear sometime. And I remember laying, now again, you got to remember, I'm 13, okay? Wild imagination. I'm laying in my bed, and I just know that the evil dead are just right outside my window scratching on the screen. I'm just thoroughly convinced that that's what's happening. And so I'm laying there, and I thought, and I mean, seriously, I don't know. I mean, I was calling my mom and dad to come and get me home from school. I was having migraine headaches and all kinds of stuff. And I just thought, you know what? I'm done with this. If I go over to that window and there's a zombie staring back at me, guess what? I'll go wake up my parents, we'll get the guns, and we're going to war. So I just got up out of my bed, and I walked right over to the window. And I got the blinds are down, and I'm taking a deep breath, and I'm psyching myself out. And I said these words right here, in the name of Jesus. And I pulled the blinds back, and there was nothing there. And I went back to bed and slept soundly the rest of the night and never had an issue with it again. Why? I got bold, come on now, in the Lord. I had holy boldness that God was going to protect me. God was going to take care of me. God was going to be there for me. Okay? Boldness doesn't come from not being good enough. We're not good enough. We aren't. Okay? If you ever think you're going to be good enough, go read the Bible. It tells us we're not. Okay? You ever go for an interview on a job and they tell you that you're not qualified, we're going in a different direction? Hurts, doesn't it? Bothers you, right? I mean, I remember talking to some folks that came down, and he's like, I've applied for 70 jobs and been told we're going in a different direction every time. He's like, I feel like I'm not qualified. And I'm like, okay, God's got something for you. I mean, that's all I can say, all right? It hurts when somebody tells you you're not good enough, okay? My dad tells a story that he went, and I had a similar experience, wasn't as bad as his. He went to the guidance counselor when he was a senior in high school, and basically they told him that, you know, just go ahead and enjoy manual labor for the rest of your life because you're not going to amount to much more than that. Now, they might not have used it that bluntly in those, but when he tells it, that's basically what they said to him. You know, you're going to have a manual labor job forever. Now, if you know my dad at all, and some of you have read his book, my dad's a very successful businessman, and it was because of that date with the guidance counselor that his world changed. He got determined and got upset. I was told by my guidance counselor, you know, you need to be in radio or TV or stand in front of people. Here I am. Okay. But listen, when you hear something like that and somebody tries to pigeonhole you in, it hurts and it bothers you. Here's the thing. We aren't good enough. We are not worthy of God's blessings. We are not worthy to have these mountains move. We aren't. It isn't because I'm that awesome. But listen, that doesn't mean we're hopeless. As we wrap this up, I put this online this week. Some of you liked it. Some of you probably didn't even notice it. But it's this. Our worthiness is Christ Jesus. And I look a lot better in him than I do any other way. And that is the way, come on somebody, God sees me in him. He doesn't really see me. He looks at Jesus and sees me in Jesus. You have to understand, and this is why you can be boldness in the holiness part of it. You have to understand Jesus makes you worthy. And because he makes you worthy, you can be bold that the blessing is supposed to come upon you. It's not just maybe going to come upon you. Maybe if I hold my breath and cross my fingers and cross my toes and oh man, I hope. Listen, Jesus makes you worthy. And when you walk in him, it's supposed to follow you around. The Bible says it's supposed to overtake you. But you have to believe that. We are what the Bible calls joint heirs. And we have every right to expect what he said to happen in our lives. That's the boldness that we're talking about. Now, next week, we're going to move into a little bit different phase of this, but we're going to talk about, okay, well, what about the word am I supposed to believe? You don't want to miss this. I told you, we're going to take our time on this. But here's the thing. These 5 or 7 points, however many there were, this is what builds your faith strong. And this is when your faith gets to this point, it's ready to start moving mountains. Are you tired of mountains in your life? Start walking these things out. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Walk these things out in your life. Walk them out. Walk in obedience. Walk in holy boldness. Walk in humility. Read the word. Stop looking at people. Surround yourself with things that'll build your faith. Forget what experience you've had before. Allow your faith to grow strong so that you're ready to start moving mountains. Lord, help us. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. Help us to walk in. To walk in this. Walk in this so that we can see it and have it. See these mountains disappear. Lord, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.